Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the second day of May, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Yah's plan playing out. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cumri Ambith. Prinhonda. Callers will be welcome later on in the broadcast. We do remind you to be careful of your language and also to be mindful of others who may be on the call at the same time and try not to walk on top of each other. We are in the question and answer mode on Free Conference Call, which means that everybody joining the call, whether by phone or by computer, is muted until such time as you indicate you wish to speak. And then you enter into my queue, and I take the queue in the order that people show up. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. Again, that's pastordan.net. We have a Daily Mail page there, which with the way things are happening today, we suggest you check it out a couple times a day. I try to keep it updated with the information that's coming across my desk, which anymore is flooding across the desk. It's a full-time job just trying to sort through it all so that I can report back to you what I believe to be pertinent information. And again, I'm not claiming to be perfect at it. Obviously, I'm using filters for the information based on my life's experience, my education, and my research. And then you basically get what I have filtered out to be not pertinent so that you don't waste time. And again, I'm not claiming to be perfect at it, but that's what's happening. We're going to take a verse here out of 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 in the World English Bible. This is the boldness which we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He listens to us. And if we know that He listens to us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of Him. Now, who's Him? Yahweh, our Yahshua, our Creator, by whatever name you go by, okay? However you pronounce the Tetragrammaton is up to you. It's just like names on this earth right now, as we've talked about many, many times. My name in different languages like French and Spanish and Portuguese and Finnish and Celtic, etc., is not pronounced the same as it is in modern-day English. Don't get hung up on pronunciations. It's like the old axiom about law. The intention of a law is far more important than the wording. Okay? Slick-tongued devils, or we used to call them silver-tongued devils, can play with the meanings of words so as to get you to believe that a law has a different intention. However, the intention of the original law cannot be changed. So the wording is in the vocabulary of the day, such as the Constitution in the 1700s of America. You have to understand what those words meant to the people who wrote it so that you can determine the intention of the law. For instance, the Second Amendment. That is a perfect example of how silver-tongued devils try to use sophistry to get you to believe that the Second Amendment doesn't apply today. when the intention of the Second Amendment cannot be altered, no matter if it's 1,000 years from now. What was the intention of the Second Amendment? That we, the people, remain armed to protect ourselves from scoundrels, both domestic and foreign, whether they come in the form of a criminal or a criminal government. That's the intention of the Second Amendment. That cannot be disputed, ever. In fact, there was an ad hoc committee formed in Washington, D.C., not all that long ago, by a prominent member. I can't remember his name right off the top of my head, but you can do the research. It took 2 years. We paid, taxpayers paid, these criminals in Washington, D.C., to look into the meaning of the Second Amendment. And you know what the ad hoc committee said? It means just what it says. The right to keep and bear, meaning to possess and to carry, weapons is a right. And rights, by definition, cannot be legislated away. Because if it can be legislated away, it's not a right. Your right to defend yourself cannot be infringed upon, which means no law, whether you're city, county, state, or federal, has any authority when it comes to your defenses. Period. Okay? So it's just like this COVID nonsense. People say, well, Dan, they're telling me I got to do this or that to keep my job or keep my business open, blah, 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 blah. When it gets down to it, you have the right to ignore the sons of bitches and do what you know to be right. Our Father in Heaven gave you that authority. These assholes don't have authority. They only have the authority you give them because of your brainwashing and your fear. Remember, false evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. False evidence appearing real. In your brain, you think these people have, quote, authority over you. That is idolatry, because you are worshiping an idol portraying itself as your, quote, God. So every one of you who acquiesces to these government mandates is an idolater. Do you understand the importance of that? Go look in your book, you know, that book you guys carry around, you call it the Bible, that you believe to be all of Scripture, which it's not. But look it up. What does our Father say about idolaters? They'll take their place with the goats. Liars, gossipers, blasphemers, those who would harm the little children, those who would harm the widows. Now, what is a widow? Okay? A widow is a woman without a male coverture. It's as simple as that. A woman who does not have a man in authority over her. And when I say authority, I'm talking biblically, meaning a man to protect her, a man to mentor her, a man to watch over, guide, love, and protect and provide for. Not to lord over, abuse, beat up, or rape. Okay? That's not what it's about. So, widows, not because of death, but widows, meaning women alone without a cover, or the orphans, the same thing, they don't have parents for coverture, the ancient law of coverture, which comes from the French couvert, to cover. So the law of coverture would take care of that. And it says, woe to those who do what? To take advantage of the widows and orphans. So we have a lot of criminals walking this earth. That's why I entitled today, Yah's Plan Playing Out, because the news that I've read since last night seems to be implying that a lot of what we see going on that we have so much consternation about is actually our Father's plan playing out. And thank you for the work of Angel, one of our listeners here, who sends me a lot of material. And I don't give her enough credit for that. But Angel and some of the other, quote, angels, messengers, helpers that send me material that have a lot to do with what we say and do here on this program. And by the way, I want to remind you that more and more evidence is coming in that the things that we breathe into the ethers via this program, which is approaching its 22nd anniversary here in a few months. So in the past 21 and a half years, we have breathed into the ethers a lot of concepts based on Yah's law and Yah's plan. And I'm starting to see it bubble up now. It has percolated through the populations of the earth, and now people are speaking openly about many of the things that we've discussed on this little tiny radio station. Praise Yahweh. He said his word will go out. Word meaning also plan. Logos in the Greek is both the spoken word and the plan, because both the spoken word and a plan require logic or intelligence. Logos in the Greek. So his word or plan will go forth and will not return to him void. His plan is playing out right before our eyes so perfectly. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I wanted to read, before we get into a lot of this, a couple things here. I have a book written by a friend of mine who happens to live in Central Florida now. Michael Marlowe wrote a book called Prophets and Poets, The Last Days. I wanted to give the last 3 days readings because I think they're appropriate for us. So April 30th is out of Isaiah chapter 30. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. Now, that small verse says a lot. In returning and rest. Returning. Could that be a lot like repentance, rethinking? In returning to who? Our Father and His law. Haven't you figured out yet man's law doesn't get you anything but what? Corruption and chaos. Because lawyers, attorneys, esquires, judges, and legal, quote, authorities can play with words. That's how we got into this mess. And because the preachers today are no longer the watchmen on the wall, sounding the alarm to the sheep or to the congregation, okay? They are themselves prostitutes. They've been bought and paid for. They no longer protect the sheep. So returning from this worshiping of man and man's law to our Heavenly Father, our Creator. So in returning and rest, what's rest? That's what the Sabbath is, the day of rest, okay? A lot of people get the Sabbath completely wrong. Remember, it says in Scripture, I created the Sabbath for you, not me. Our Father in Heaven doesn't need a day of rest, but you do, and I do. And I've told you many times, I worked in the United States Air Force during Vietnam, and they worked us 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hours a day for many, many, many months in a row. I saw firsthand what working 7 days a week does to the body and to the spirit. Fist fights, a divorce rate that was somewhere close to 90-95%. Hostility, illness, and we were all young men, 19, 20, 21 years old, and it was affecting us tremendously. Can you imagine what a 7-day work week is doing to 30, 40, 50, 60-year-olds. Then I went into nuclear power in the electrical power industry, and at that time, they were doing exactly the same thing. Because we were putting together a new nuclear plant, they were working the fossil guys and the nuclear guys 7 days a week, 10, 12, 14 hours a day for many months in a row. They no longer do that because somebody finally stepped up and told the truth that it was very harmful to the people and non-productive, because after a certain amount of hours in the, quote, workforce, people burn out, and so you're not really getting any more productivity. That's the only reason they did it. They didn't give a shit what they were doing to us physically. And the same thing in the power industry that I saw in the United States Air Force. When you work, guys, 7 days a week, extended hours, you get mental breakdowns. You have a very high divorce rate. So it repeats over and over. So in your rest, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. Quietness and in trust. All right? What's the scripture say about a prudent or wise man? Is of few words. Few words. Not pontificating endlessly like some people do. They could say what they wanted to say in maybe three sentences, but they'll pontificate for 10 to 15 minutes. I'm telling you, that is difficult to tolerate, especially in this day and age when everybody's doing everything they can do to scamper and prepare for what's coming. Scripture says a prudent man says much with just a few words. The reading for May 1st comes out of Ezekiel chapter 18, starting at verse 30. Repent, rethink, and turn back from all your transgressions. What are transgressions? Sin. Okay, the Bible defines sin as transgression of what? Transgression of Yahweh's law. Lest iniquity be your ruin. Take a look at the once powerful and moral United States of America. It is but a shell of what it once was, because we are witnessing the iniquity of our transgressions. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Once you come to the realization that our Father created us and created the laws that we are to govern ourselves by, you have a new heart and a new spirit. You see, all this chaos out here is because people have lost their way. They're like a ship without a rudder. They're being blown around by whatever the morons in government and their lapdogs in the media tell you. Where the people of Yahweh are grounded, we have an anchor set so that we're not blown around by the winds of these morons, these liars, these profligate morons, and what they're telling us, which is all hogwash. Hogwash. Lies. Deception. Why will you die? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares Yahweh Elohim. So turn, meaning repent, return to Him, come back to logical, rational thinking, and live. Live. Our Father, like all of us, true Israelites, we are loving, caring, sharing people. If you don't have those traits, you're not an Israelite. I'm sorry, but you're not. You're a pretender. You're a fake and a fraud. Loving, meaning caring, and sharing individual. If you don't have those attributes, then you're so far from the Creator, you might as well just give up and go out and have a gay old time, because you're toast. Okay, your chances of being selected for going on are pretty remote because you haven't learned the lesson. Loving, caring, and sharing. Loving the children so that you take pedophiles and hang them by the neck. You love children so that the abortion industry is shut down and those who commit it are executed. That's how you love children. You love children so much that those advocating the wearing of masks and putting that serum in their bodies should be taken into the street and hung by the nearest, lamppost, hang them by the neck. That's what should happen if you were loving, caring, sharing individuals. However, most of our people are not. They love tranquility. They love material goods. They love hedonistic pleasures. They love about everything except what our Father tells us to love. They don't even love themselves because they'll put poisons in their body that have absolutely no intelligent reason for doing it. There's no rational reason to put that shit in your body or a member of your family's body. None. And leading doctors, and I just listened to one by Dr. Hodgkinson over in the United Kingdom, who is an expert, who basically said what we've been saying for the last 15 months. This is a joke. This is the greatest fraud ever perpetrated against mankind. And it's being done by who? The corporations, the media, and your government, and your medical institutions. And throw in the judges and lawyers and the police and the military with it. They are all complicit in the greatest crime committed against mankind. And the interesting thing is, in India, of all places, a massive revolution is taking place. They are rising up and they are beating and sometimes killing the perpetrators of this fraud. Where's the white man in all this? The people that Yahweh put upon the earth 7,000 years ago, approximately, to maintain God's law and order upon this earth. Adam, in the Hebrew, meaning to show blood in the face or to blush. Only one pure race. We don't go by what half-breeds do because they are an aberration of nature. But in the natural world, a pure-blooded white is the only race that blushes or shows blood in the face. And no, Jews are not white. And again, hybrids don't count. Mixed race do not count. Going to the May 2nd reading comes out of Psalm number 30. I will extol you, Yahweh, for you have drawn me up and not let my enemies rejoice over me. Yahweh, my Elohim God, I cried out to you for help and you have helped me. Yahweh, you have brought up my soul from Sheol, which is the grave. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. In other words, when you walk out the door and you see the people with the dirty diapers on their face, that's walking amongst the zombies headed for the pit, which is destruction. It doesn't mean hellfire forever, sitting there burning in a burning fire. The pit, meaning death. Destruction, pain, suffering, in the here and now. Most of the Greek words used in the scriptures have to do with here and now, whether it's salvation or judgment. What happens when your soul leaves this body is not up to you. We're not even able to describe it in the language of today. Most of the people that have had near-death experiences can tell you that. We don't have words to adequately describe what's on the other side of the firmament. We don't know. And I don't believe we're meant to know. You have enough to worry about in this 3D dimensional plane that you live in now. Why the hell would you spend time worrying about something you can't even conceive of? That would be like trying to sit around and figure out what happens when the sperm and egg get together and a baby is starting to grow. You have no idea the intricacies and the miracles of creation that go on for that to happen. You can't even begin to understand it. And yet it happens. You're here. Do you need to understand it? Of course not. Do you need to understand how the spirit leaves the body and what we become when we're on the other side with our Creator? No, you don't need to know that. You have enough to do right here, and you're not doing a very good job of it, folks. And that includes me. We're not doing a very good job at all. Look at this. Look at the chaos around us. But it is Yahweh's plan playing out. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Mourning here is to mourn, okay? Not mourning as in the sun coming up. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Yahweh, my Elohim God, I will give thanks to you forever. Again, Psalm 30 out of the book Prophets and Poets, The Last Days by Michael Marlowe. It's available at Amazon. And again, you're helping to support a brother. A lot of wisdom in those words. Again, in this day and age, especially with his plan playing out with all this chaos and death and destruction that's coming about, think about it, folks. Are the righteous suffering? I don't know about you folks, but my world seems to be getting better day by day. Maybe it's just me. I don't know, but it is. Now, do I have stress? Yeah, I do, because I care about people. I care about my loved ones. Okay, so yeah, I got some tension, some stress, but it's only out of concern for the innocent that are being harmed. It's not because I'm worried about me and what's going to happen to me. And most of the believers that I know, the real believers now, not the pretenders, most of them are doing okay. Maybe not perfectly. Okay, we could all use more material things to make life a little better. But all in all, most of my acquaintances in the realm of faith, anyway, they're doing okay. They got a roof over their heads. Small miracles are happening. Blessings are being showered upon them. Okay, we get all worked up because of what we're seeing going on. But remember, what did Yahweh say was going to happen to the wicked? Go back again and read Malachi chapter 4 and Obadiah verse 18. What happens to the wicked? Those who don't get the simple message of repentance and coming back to our Father. What happens to them? It's not very good. Okay? It's not very good at all. That's why I don't understand why people don't get it. Okay? Why don't they get the simple truth that you are a created being and you were put here for a purpose? Especially you Adamic people. Now, the book also says those that bless Abraham, meaning the great father and mother of our race, Abraham and Sarah, because they loved Yahweh more than life itself, which is basically what it's all about. Okay, it says in the book that those who bless Abraham and Abraham's seed will be blessed. So all of you people out there that think going to heaven is a DNA thing, well, maybe, maybe not. Because everything is pointing to what happens here on earth. What happens on the other side is none of your business. You have no impact on it whatsoever. How about what happens here? Again, I see it played out day by day. Those who bless Abraham, I'll give you a perfect example. I've talked about this before. Where my office was, that guy next door is a black older man, middle-aged, and he is a saint as far as his behavior. I don't know where his heart is with the Father, but his actions, quiet, compassionate, a good neighbor, friendly, gives a helping hand when you need it, brings food that are from where he works, and they sometimes are going to throw food away. He'll bring a big old basket of tomatoes or green beans or string beans and just bring them and put them on the doorstep. Okay? A good neighbor, a good man. Okay? Yahweh said, judge them by their fruits. I judge Gerard as a good man, and I treat him with respect as a good man. Am I wrong for doing that because his DNA is different than mine? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Judge them by their fruits. Now, again, he is not of my kind, and therefore he's not to marry into my family, and my family's not to marry into his. He's to stay kind after kind. He has violated that rule. His wife is not of his kind. His wife is a mixed kind, as many people today are. But again, he will answer to the Creator for that. That's not my job. Do you see the difference here? So those who bless Abraham will be blessed. Is he blessed? Yeah, I'm a good neighbor to him because he has blessed me. I look out for his property when he's not home. He looks out for mine when I'm not home. Do you see how that works? We don't sit down and discuss theology because I don't feel the need to. But I will treat him with respect because he has been quite a blessing to me as one of Abraham's seed. You see, Yahweh's law is an easy one to follow, folks. It's very commonsensical, actually. However, common sense isn't common anymore, is it? Now, it does say also in that book, those who curse Abraham will in turn be cursed, punished. That's where we drop the ball, thanks to these modern-day preachers who are teaching lies and deceptions rather than Yahweh's truth, because they are disarming the white race. They are basically getting us ready for the slaughter. Okay? So these prostitutes, and that's why Scripture says, the prophets tell us that the day will come when their own parents will hunt down these fake, phony prostitute preachers. Their own parents will help to hunt them down. Now, you might ask yourself, if we're going to hunt them down, what do you think is going to happen to them? Why do you hunt something down? Generally, it's to kill it. Right? It's to kill it. It's not to welcome it home or to fellowship with it, is it? It's to bring punishment on them. What does Yahweh say about those who are false prophets and who lead the sheep astray and send them to the slaughter? It's not a very pleasant place to be. So Yahweh's plan, actually, to me, looks like it's playing out. I know that these government people and medical people are profligate liars and misfits. They're criminals. However, Yahweh's people are not affected. I haven't put a diaper on my face for 1 second. Okay? I haven't. It's just like the unclean foods. You stay away from the unclean foods. I stayed away from the diapers because I knew they were of no effect and actually harmful. I knew that 15 months ago. So did the mandates and the behavior of the wicked affect me? No. I went outside in the sun, even in Virginia, where I was when this all started, and they had a stay-in-your-house order. I went outside. I got a few looks from people, but I didn't give a shit. I went outside. I got out in the sun because it was still kind of winterish up there and cold. So every time the sun came out, I was outside, fresh air and sunshine. And once in a while, a neighbor would wave or smile, but nobody gave me too much trouble. So it didn't affect me. I didn't fall into it. I didn't get fearful. I knew there wasn't a real pandemic. I knew it right from the beginning because I knew Fauci was a liar. One look at that piece of shit and I knew he was a liar. Just look at him and you can tell he's a liar. Same thing with that creature called Birx, that woman. Liar. Criminal. I pray for the day when Yahweh's people rise up and hunt these creatures down. And the men with swords will execute Yahweh's judgment upon the wicked. We're being told that part of the plan of the wicked is creating false flags. We know that with all these so-called mass shootings, which are totally ridiculous. They're all staged, virtually all of them. It's all staged, okay? Everything, again, coming across that screen, pretty much all staged. I just heard somebody that was talking about all their friends in India are sending them personal messages saying that what the news media is telling you about the pandemic in India is a lie. But what they're not telling you is about the revolution that's going on over there as righteous individuals have got righteous indignation and they're going after their officials. In fact, some are predicting the possible collapse of the Indian government, which would be a blessing to mankind, as all of our centralized governments, if they fell and the people put them to the sword, it would be a blessing upon mankind, much as when Phinehas took out the race traitor of the Israelites who was fornicating in the tent with his non-Israelite female. And Phinehas went in and put a spear right down through the two of them together. How about that? Two birds with one stone, so to speak. One spear took out two violators. And isn't it funny how Yahweh blessed Phinehas in perpetuity for that act? You know, the modern-day church liars, these guys on television and behind the pulpits in today's churches. Well, what would Jesus do, Dad? Jesus would go in and lay hands on them and beg them to stop fornicating and race mixing, right? Well, it's funny because Phinehas didn't do that. He picked up a spear and put it right down through the two of them. And then the rest of the men of Israel went out and killed thousands of other race traitors. And Yahweh blessed Phinehas and his posterity in perpetuity. There is a Phinehas priesthood still in existence, by the way. You don't ever hear about them because, well, the mainstream doesn't want you to know that. But every now and then you'll hear of acts of the Phinehas priesthood. The love of money is at an all-time high. That's how these perpetrators of this great hoax and lie are getting away with what they're doing, because the Jews around the world have taken control of the electronic shekels. Okay, centralized banking today no longer issues real money. It's all digitized. And who was the leader? Greenspan and all that. The kike, the Jew, the money changer, the serpent. Greenspan. And he bragged about that fact. You see, they always brag about what they're going to do. They put a lot of it in wording and in writings, etc., and in speeches, but they know that the average lemming out there, that's you and me, we're not going to take the time to study any of that. We don't have watchmen anymore. The pulpits have vacated any of the watchmen that used to be there. But then again, you sheep haven't wanted to hear the truth. Okay? I got many of those in my own circle of family and friends. They don't really want to know the truth. The truth has been available all along, but you haven't wanted it. And what did he say about that grand delusion Oh, that's right. He's going to put it on those who no longer love the truth. Those of us who have been seeking the truth, Yahweh has put angels or messengers in our life to help us come to the knowledge of truth all along, because we didn't stop loving the truth. Most of mankind is in the category of loving the lie. Okay? Just looking at a note here real quick. And again, for folks that are here live, the chat, I can't monitor the chat. I just can't do it. I'll look at it every now and then for something, but it's better you either text me or email my Proton Mail account if you have something you want to get to me, because I just can't. I don't have the ability to follow the chat. So again, Dr. Hodgkinson over in the United Kingdom just did about a 30-minute presentation where he just denounced everything going on by the medical community and the governments as a complete sham and actually criminal, okay? Criminal. So Yahweh's plan is playing out, it appears, and the people who are being harmed by these injections, it's coming out more and more. Especially susceptible to it are the ladies. And of the ladies, the ones who are younger and impregnated seem to be getting harmed the most. At least that's what the data seems to be showing. So be very, very careful. And we know about the spreading aspect of this. Cliff High just did a presentation talking about that. When you're out and about, if you're forced to, be careful, because if you're among the vaccinated, that the contamination of you is very possible. And so a prophylactic for that would, of course, be what? Your health. Okay? Your protection is your health, your immune system. I don't know how I have to tell you that. Yahweh created within you the greatest source of health ever even imagined. It's called your immune system. Imagine that. We have an immune system, and I don't need the modern medical people and pharmaceutical people. You mean man's been upon this earth for multiple thousands of years and we survived without medicine and without pharmacies? How did we do it? Amazing. And we're still here. In fact, it's amazing, but the healthiest people are the ones who avoid the medical institutions and the pharmacies. Every relative I know that gets regular checkups and has pharmaceutical drugs in them has worse health than I do. Just saying, you can conclude whatever you want from that, but it's a fact. Okay? And a lot of people say you can't turn back the hands of time, and yet the people who love Yahweh, who are doing their damnedest to live by his code of rules, and who have changed their eating habits and their medical protocols to be more in line with the natural, they're all feeling better than they did 10, 15, 20 years ago. Isn't that amazing? And guess what one of the big aspects of that feeling good is? Lose weight. I don't know why it is so hard to get that through the heads of our people, but it is. And I always get excuses. People are phenomenal on how they can make excuses for not doing something. Whether it's getting up to go to work, whether it's exercising, whether it's losing weight, you name it, our people will come up with 1,000 reasons why they can't do it. Yet, if they spent as much time and energy actually doing something, they could do it. they could do it. Now, I've had people for years, and again, it's by the grace of Yahweh that I was able to do this because of certain things that happened and people that came into my life. I spent most of my better years, as far as health goes, or youth, I should say, back in 20s, 30s, and 40s, I spent it in the gyms, lifting weights and treadmills and swimming and running, etc., thinking that would make me feel better. And yet today, I feel better than I ever did when I was a gym junkie. I don't lift weights. I don't run. I don't go swimming tons and tons of laps. And yet I feel better. Everything seems to be working just fine. Every medical scan that I have done, these are natural ones, not the quacks within the medical industry, but the naturopathic scans that use voice stress analysis and biofeedback. Every one of those scans I have done, the practitioner who is scanning me often will say, "Your scans are amazing." Recently, one practitioner told me that she was jealous because her own scan wasn't as good as mine, and she's the practitioner. And I'm only saying that as a proof that obedience to the Father, and stop making excuses and put your ass into the system of getting better. There are natural ways to help with weight control. Natural ways. Don't require counting calories. Don't require tremendous amounts of sweating and lifting weights or anything else. Your body wants to be at the ideal weight. It's dying to be at the ideal weight. You just have to figure out what you're doing to stop it. In my case, when I was younger, I was eating junk food. I was eating from the time I got up in the morning till just before going to bed. Snacks, cookies, Pop-Tarts, chips. A lot of times I mistook hunger when I was actually thirsty. I should have been drinking water. A lot more water than I was. I was drinking soda pop. That's poison. Especially the diet. That's even worse. Okay? So over a period of 30 years, Father has led me through the lies and deception to figure out what it is I was doing wrong. So where now, I don't even really have to think about it. I do intermittent fasting, which means I eat only 8 hours a day. So if I start eating at 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm done by 6 o'clock at night. No more food. I can drink liquids, or if you're really desperate, you can have a piece of fruit, because fruit does not interrupt the cycle. But no starches, meats, vegetables, other than the 8-hour window every 24 hours. That's what intermittent fasting is, okay? Why is that necessary? In a nutshell, let me tell you, your body works on 3 8-hour cycles. Our Heavenly Father creates a perfect machine. Your machine was designed to take in food for fuel 8 hours. The next 8 hours, your machine is digesting that food. And in the last 8 hours, it is excreting toxins and waste products. And then the cycle repeats. Do you see how beautiful that is? You want to see yourself feel better almost immediately? Then get into intermittent fasting. And, I can't tell you how many people, "Well, I can't do that, Dan." Okay, well, then don't. Don't. And deal with the consequences. That's all I can say. Because, you know, one time as a congregation, we got together and we said, let's do a 3-day fast. I can't remember. Something was happening back in the 1990s, and it was a great concern for the congregation. So we all got together and said, let's fast and pray as our ancestors did. We'll do a 3-day fast. And some of the congregation were hypoglycemic. which I'm sure Angel here would tell you, they have problems with needing sugar and insulin, okay? They have problems. So they came up and were very concerned. They said, well, Dan, if I don't get something in my system, I faint. I said, well, that's between you and the Father then. I said, the Father doesn't want you to hurt yourself, obviously. I said, but why don't you give it a go? And if you feel like you're going to faint or have a problem, then you take your sugar tablets or whatever it is you have and go ahead and consume them. The Father's not going to care. It's your heart that he cares about. Your heart is into the fast, and you want to do it. Now, again, I'm not telling you what to do. That's between you and the Father. But in our case, those members of the congregation who were concerned came up to me after the 3 days when we got back together, and many of them told me that they were fine. To their astonishment, they were amazed that the whole 3 days, they never once felt like they were going to faint. And they actually did do the fast and only drank water. And if they did feel a little something, they'd maybe have a little piece of fruit. But most of the time, they didn't have anything but water for 3 days. My point is that sometimes we convince ourselves within our minds of something that just isn't true. For instance, recently when I had the abscess and I could not eat for 10 straight days, and then when I did eat, I had just a little tiny cup of broth. So when the illness or the abscess started, until my first actual meal was 14 days, 2 weeks. I didn't really think about it, to be honest with you. I was in so much pain, and I could not eat even if I wanted to. My tongue was swollen. I didn't think about it until later, but I was astonished. I went 10 days without food. It didn't really bother me. I was so focused on trying to get over this and to not have to go to a clinic or to a doctor or a hospital. I was so focused on that and getting the pain to go away and all, I didn't really even think about food. And next thing I know, it's 10 days later, and it's 14 days before I had a meal. I lost 14 pounds, which is about average. If you're fasting, you're going to lose about a pound a day. And I did, 14 pounds 14 days. But it didn't kill me. That was the main thing. A lot of people say, oh, we can't do that. It's unhealthy. It's everything. But you know what? I felt better. I had to take my belt up at least 2 notches. That felt good. I was lighter on my feet. I was able to go out and do things. That felt good. So everybody, including the nurses and doctors in the family, oh, well, you can't do that. It's unhealthy. You're supposed to eat 3 squares a day. You see the propaganda? It's just like the diapers on the face and putting that serum in your body. It's all a mind game, folks. Again, this is the scripture we just read. The peace and quiet and salvation comes from returning to him. And what? Oh, that's right. Trusting him. Instead, you're trusting those who have the trusted voices. You're being told by the propagandists, the trusted voices. Just got a note here. Okay, I don't think it applies to what we're talking about here. Okay. So again, folks, you can do what you want. I'm just presenting my testimony. I'm laying it on the table, and what you do with it is up to you. Let's see here. The Cliff Eye, based on his data mining operation, which he is a senior programmer and linguist. If you've never listened to Cliff Eye, I'm not saying Cliff is right about everything, but he does come up with some astonishing stuff, and he's fairly accurate in his predictions. But he's predicting that within the next 3 weeks that we will see a repeat of what happened in India, in the United States, and possibly in Canada as well. Because And I've gotten this from many of my personal contacts across the country. The people here are pretty close to the same place where the folks in India are. We're fed up. We're fed up with the politicians. We're fed up with the medical establishment. We're fed up with the media. We're fed up with the compliant military and police that are going along with this shit. We're just fed up. And it will escalate into violence. Yes, it will. Am I advocating it? No. I'm just simply stating a fact. Okay? It's already happening in other places of the world under the same circumstances. The logical mind would say, well, it's probably going to happen here. In fact, I dare say it will happen here at some point. And we've calculated that it will. Okay, you can only oppress people for so long, and they're going to fight back eventually. Those that still have any kind of intestinal fortitude and testosterone, the warriors anyway, and some of the ladies, believe it or not, are better warriors than some of the men. Sad to say it, but some of them are. In fact, sometimes I got to ask, where the hell are the men? Where are the lions? Okay? You got Dr. Tenpenny and Dr. Merritt, both of them ladies with credentials out the ass, are out there, brave hearts, speaking their mind and warning everybody about all this bullshit. Where the hell are the men? Now, there are male doctors, just like the one I talked about, Hodgkinson and Del Bigtree and his channel are putting out a lot of good information. Alex Newman did an interview with Greg Hunter on USA Watchdog, or Watchdog USA. I can't remember which one it is. But he did a pretty good interview where he talked about all of this criminality that's going on. So there are men, but the point of it is there should be a far more men than women. Okay, it's not up to the ladies to lead the fight. The ladies step up when the men don't have enough balls to do it. That's really what it amounts to. Even in Scripture, it talks about that. I believe it was Susanna or Susan in the Bible that, and there were others. Deborah was another one. Deborah. They stepped up to shame us men into doing what the lions should be doing, which is to be warriors protecting the widows and orphans. And, we talk about the law of coverture, and a lot of people just don't seem to get it. You know, that this whole idea of polygamy and the patriarchal family, we're all brainwashed and triggered as soon as you hear those words. But really, that's what the law of coverture is talking about. Okay? The enemy wants you to immediately think of sex. That's it. And they've convinced many of the women to do that. That's all they see when this topic comes up, is that man simply wants multiple partners. They don't look at any other aspect of it. And I got to tell you, I just shake my head. That's when I go to prayer with the Father and go, why did you give me this job? I don't think I'm man enough for this job. I really don't. This is getting to be wearisome. It really is. Because the logic of it is so plain to see. Why the people want to rebel is beyond me. I just don't get it. How many verses talk about the widows and the orphans? What is it the patriarch is supposed to do? Become the coveter for the widows and the orphans. Okay? It's as simple as that. Now, how many warrior lions do you know out there, ladies and gentlemen? And we'll use King David for an example, okay? How many King Davids do you know? Forget the male-female population ratio, which is always more females than there are males. But of the males, how many of them are King David? Now that ratio gets even bigger. So let me ask, if you think Yahweh's plan is so archaic and out of touch with reality, then explain to me how we accomplish that. Because real lions are capable of protecting and providing for the widows and orphans, whereas these soy boys and cucks and diaper wearers and vaccinated males, how many people do you think they're going to protect or be coverture for? How many? The good news is it's not up to you and it's not up to me what's going to happen. This is all part of Yahweh's plan, and it's going to go right where he wants it to go. And you, me, or all of us aren't going to change it. No matter how important you think we are, we're not going to change his plan. It's playing out exactly as he sees it. Let me check the queue real quick, and okay, we don't have any callers. It's the same thing when you get into other controversial subjects such as circumcision, okay? And I don't need to go into the details. I did an excellent interview with Janice Barcelo, who herself is a highly educated woman, some time ago. You can go into the archives and find it. But we discussed the psychological, spiritual, and physical damage done to boys when you circumcise them. Now, the enemy wants you to think, oh, it's just a simple procedure and it makes them so much cleaner. It's a healthy thing to do. Really? Mutilating Yahweh's creation is a healthy thing to do? Let me know where it says that in Scripture. Well, Dan, it says to be circumcised. Oh, no, your English Bible says that. The ancient text talked about a blood ritual, but according to this researcher that put out an excellent article on it, the blood ritual was to extract a tiny drop of blood. Symbolically, it had nothing to do with circumcision as we practice it today. Circumcision as we practice it today is barbarism and it's mutilation of our boys. And here's the kicker. There's a lot of circumcisions that are botched. In fact, whole websites have been dedicated to reporting the grotesque number of botched circumcisions, which potentially can ruin a child for life. And in fact, all circumcisions ruin, in a way, children for life, because you cannot take away the trauma, the pain, and the after effects of what you've just done to that child. You cannot take that away. Now, again, I lay the gift on the table. What you do with it is up to you. But for the sake of the children, especially all those boys out there, I'm going to beat this drum until Yahweh takes me home. Because if you, now that you know better, allow your little boy to be butchered, to be mutilated, then the sin is on your hands, not mine. I'm trying to help our little boys out. There is no justification, just like with this whole COVID thing. There's no logic and there's no science and no medicine supporting any of it. None. There is also no science, no medicine supporting the mutilation of a baby boy. None. Let me repeat. There is none. You do it because you follow the tradition of your elders, which Christ condemned. You don't use your brains. You don't use logic. You don't even really even think about it. You just do it. Much like putting on a goddamn diaper to go into a store because you think you have to. Or you're even dumber and you actually think the mask is somehow protecting you from an unseen virus that really doesn't even exist. Okay? This is the state of the world we live in. It is beyond pathetic. Beyond pathetic. Another good book I want to tell you about, I've started reading it again because it's so appropriate, but we have a situation, and thank goodness there are people in the local areas starting to realize this, but there's a little book by a fellow by the name of Matthew Trewella, T-R-E-W-H-E-L-L-A, Trewella. He wrote a book called The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates, A Proper Resistance to Tyranny and a Repudiation of Unlimited Obedience to Civil Government. Again, Romans 13 is completely mistranslated and misconstrued by the liars behind the pulpits today. They are guilty of misleading the sheep and actually leading them to the slaughter. This little book is available. I think I got it through Amazon, but I'm not sure. Can't remember now where I got it. But it is a phenomenal little book and goes into basically talking about from the Magna Carta when the lesser magistrates, that's you and me, ladies and gentlemen, the doctrine of the lesser magistrates, that would be like police officers and military guys below the rank of captain. Lesser magistrates means that if you have a tyrant, whether it's in the police force, the military, or government, or the medical establishment, if he is trying to push immoral, unethical things, you as the lesser magistrate are obliged to resist, not go along with it. Nowhere in Scripture does it give you the right to go along with it and to avoid being held accountable. Nowhere. When Pharaoh told the Egyptian midwives, and the Hebrew midwives in Egypt at that time, Mitzrayim, when Pharaoh, who was the pinnacle of political power, and civil power in ancient Egypt, and he put out a proclamation that told the Hebrew midwives that they were to take the male children that were born and throw them into the river. Okay, why? Because males become what? Warriors. And this wicked man was fearful of the white children being born, our ancestors being born, because of the strength of their character, and they would be potential warriors against him and stand against his authority. Did the midwives obey Pharaoh? No, they did not. They thought outside the box. They came up with clever ways to hide the Hebrew male children being born. They didn't go along with it. They just got clever on how to get around it. I know one gentleman that listens to our show here out of Miami, and he goes into the store, and when they give him shit, he just tells them he has a medical condition. And probably 95% of the time, they just don't even question it. They don't give him any shit. You see, that's all it took. Just simply saying, I have a medical condition. I'm not going to put that thing on. And many, many people do. In fact, all of us have a medical condition. It's called living. It's called needing fresh air and being able to expel bad air. So all of us have a medical condition. Okay? And I myself here, especially recently, a lot of my friends, they got their mask up around their ear getting ready to put it on. And I say, why are you doing that? Well, they're going to give us crap. I said, well, how do you know if you don't challenge them? So I go walking through the door without a mask, or I don't have one on me. I don't have anything at all. And 90 to 95% of the time, nobody says anything. And lately, I'm getting reports, especially here in Florida, where people are going to establishments and the employees are no longer wearing because people here start figuring it out. So now many of the employees are pushing back against their employers. And the employers themselves are realizing that they are open to prosecution. Yes, they are. Your bosses, the people telling you to put that on, practicing medicine without a license, having you do something that is harmful to you without your consent. And if they threaten you with your job, that's duress. That's not consent. That's under duress. And if you do it under duress, they don't get to get away with saying that you volunteered or you gave consent. No. When it's under duress, that doesn't count. So your employers are liable for any health concerns or damage done to you by their idiotic mandates. And people are starting to figure that out, and they are challenging and they are winning because, again, this whole COVIDiocy that's going on is not based on science or medicine. It's based on fear, propaganda, and government. What does the Bible say of government? Oh, government like a beast is roaming, looking for prey. Who are the prey of government? That's you and me. How do they prey upon us? Well, they prey upon us with regulations and laws that they say we have to do this or not do that. You can't build here. You have to build the way we say. And they tax us. They bleed us financially. Just like a lion, just like a ravenous beast. And the world is starting to wake up that centralization is a tool of the devil. So centralized religion is of the devil. Centralized banking is of the devil. Centralized government is of the devil. Where did Yahweh condone any of it? Show me in Scripture where any of it is condoned. Any of those centralizations, where is it condoned? Okay? It's not. And we need to wake up to it, and we need to grow some testicles, men. In a lot of ways, you need to be proud of who you are and take care of yourselves, learn what your duty is upon this earth, and start being true to yourself. That's where it starts. Especially you single guys, don't even think about relationships until you know who you are and what you're capable of and what your duty is. And then you seek partners that will help you accomplish that. Whether it's one or many, doesn't matter. It's up to you. You're in charge, guys. Yeah, I know. We've grown up in a society telling us men, our job is to kiss the ass of the women, the children, and everybody else. That's what we were told, in so many words. I know. I grew up in that generation. And we've had to learn the hard way. We've had to make the mistakes and learn the hard way. That's not the way of the world. That's not what we were created for, men. We were created to be the leaders. And you lead yourself, and then you think about the ladies that you'll bring into your life to help you accomplish your mission. Irregardless of what children say, what women say, what society says, and organized religion, who gives a shit what they say? Be men. Be in charge of your lives. You decide if you need more help. You decide who your helpers will be. You decide what the situation is, because if you don't, you're not in charge. And I had an old preacher one time tell me in a conversation, Dan, why did God make women? I looked at him and I said, well, I don't know. He said, to make men, men. Because if you won't be a man, they'll take over. And by God, he was right. And I went through a lot of pain learning that valuable lesson. Okay? And I know many of you men that have as well. I talk to you every single day. And part of our problem is that mental conflict between what we were told and trained into by the church and society, television, and the propaganda versus the DNA coding that Yahweh created within your chest, in your body, in your heart and soul. We are his Adamic men. And the enemy has played a mind trick on us to get us to think that our job is to placate all these other entities, when in fact our job is to be the chief executive officer of our homes and our families. And we are to work together, you and me, men, to fix this world and set it straight. That's our job. That's what we were put here for. And we put people in our lives who help us accomplish this mission. Those that cannot help us accomplish the mission are cut off. You don't need them in your life. I don't care who it is. You don't need them. If they're not an asset to you to help you accomplish your mission and to be a better man, then you don't need them in your life. That goes for women and children. Okay? Even the Bible talks about a time when children, your progeny, might even have to be stoned because of their behavior. Okay? So if it can get to the point where you're commanded to take them out and stone them, where do you read in there that you have to have unconditional love for these creatures? That's not what it's teaching. Think about the logic. Now, would an enemy like it if that's the way you thought? Sure, because it weakens you guys. Because you can't wrap your heads around the fact that you're a warrior and you're in charge. Because society's told you that these other things are more important than who you are. When the Bible and all of Scripture points to the fact that Adam was put here first, all by himself, to accomplish what? Implementing Yahweh's law, which brings what? Law and order. Law and order. You have chaos because the Adamic man is out there working his ass off to keep the women and children happy when it should be the other way around. The women and children should be working their ass to make you a better man, to make you more money so that you can accomplish greater things. Just the opposite of what the world's teaching. Now, that being said, men, that also puts a burden upon you to be the best man that you can be. You don't get to sit around swizzling beer or doing drugs or chasing other women, strange foreign women, and get to be the man that these women will admire and support. So it's a two-way street here. They have a mission to accomplish in supporting the man, but the man has a mission to be a man of Yahweh, a teacher, a trainer, a supporter, a protector, a governor. You don't get to sit on the couch watching TV or playing computer games every day. You get out there and get the job done. Fix the car, mow the grass, fix the windows, fix the roof. Educate yourself about what's going on. Get up with other men and form local militia. Be ready to take on whatever comes down the pike and defend the widows and the orphans. That's your job. That's your job. Even if it costs you your life, that's your job. These ladies aren't expected to acquiesce and to allow themselves to come under a man that isn't willing to do those things. If you're not willing to do those things, you don't deserve it. And as Scripture plainly says, men, If you do have more than one helper, you are to care for them and treat them equally. In other words, you don't play favorites. You don't do the Cinderella story where you have one or two that are given all the delights and the other ones do all the dirty work. No, it doesn't work that way. You're not a good manager if it's working that way, because that's what a man in a household like that is, a manager. You are to take care of all your employees, all the ladies that are under your, quote, coverture. You are to treat them equally, equally well, but you're also to discipline equally. Okay? Again, these are all lessons that many people have a hard time with because, sadly, not too many people are teaching you Yahweh's truths. And it's really sad because if we lived according to his law, it's better for everybody. I don't know why so many people resist it. I don't know. I can't get my head around that one. Why? Because of tradition of elders? Because, well, that's the way it was done? Or the other one I like is, well, these modern days are different. Really? Really? They're different? Okay, what's different about Adam? Not a hell of a lot. Not a hell of a lot. They've dug up bodies of Adamites from 7,000 years ago. They look pretty much like we do today. The stories we read about the way civilizations were is pretty much the same. We had the same phobias, the same idiosyncrasies. We have it all. Not much different. And besides that, where does it say in Scripture that Yahweh's law changes? Depending on the time or the era that you live in. Where does it say that? I don't know about your book. My book says he changes not. But where in your book? Show it to me. So if his law applied 7,000 years ago, his law applies today. Period. And again, for the folks that have a problem with that, take it up with the Father. Don't take it up with me. I'm pretty closed-minded when it comes to that. It's his way or the highway. Period. That's just the way it is. And those that have a hard time with it, then leave me alone. Go somewhere else. I don't care. I'm here to serve him and my people by telling him the truth about what the hell is going on in this crazy, crazy world and where the fixes are. And again, I'm going to stress again how important your health is. And in the area of your health, how important, vitally important, maintaining proper height and weight ratios is. You have no idea how important that is. It's huge. Huge. Especially going into a period of time when there could be suffering and there could be a potential for internal conflict. You don't want to go into that weakened. Ralph up in Canada says that yesterday a group of us defied the beast and did a yard cleanup for our physically disabled neighbors, and we had a barbecue afterwards, apparently without issue. Okay? Stand up and be men and women of Yahweh. As Angel just says here, be fruitful and multiply. One last note here, as far as health. Again, it's becoming very apparent that the people that I trust, anyway, in the medical arena, are saying that vitamin D is an absolute at this time. And if you're not getting enough sunshine, and most Americans, actually probably most of the white people on this earth, especially in the climates that are overcast a lot, like the northern states and northern countries where you don't get a lot of daily sunshine, you need to be supplementing with a vitamin D. And I can't remember if it's D2 or D3. There's several vitamin Ds, and all but one of them are no good for you, okay? There is one, and I can't remember if it's D2 or D3, is the one that's vital for your health. You can look it up. But vitamin D, you should be supplementing with vitamin D, especially with this craziness going on with this COVIDiocy that's out there. Vitamin D is very, very important. All of them are important, your minerals and your vitamins. In fact, many people say your minerals are actually even more important than your vitamins, because with the proper minerals, your body can generate vitamins. Did you know that? So getting the essential minerals, as you will find in Himalayan salt, you know, they tell us salt water will kill us, and yet I drink salt water every day. The problem is that the salt they're talking about is that white crap that you have in the shaker on your table. That's not real salt. Again, symbolism over substance. What's real salt look like? It looks dirty, like Celtic salt. It looks like you took a shovel outside and put it into a bottle. It's not that bad, but I mean, it's dark. It's not this nice lily white stuff that you got in your shaker at home, but it's got the essential minerals in it. And in Himalayan salt has even higher concentrations of minerals. That's the pink salt. And you can grind it yourself or buy it ground up for you. But Himalayan salt, I keep that in a jar of water, and it diffuses through the water, and just put a scoop out of that concentrated water into a glass of regular water, and now I've got my minerals, basically salt water. Very healthy for you. In fact, your body is craving it and demanding it. Another thing that we've learned is if you're having trouble maintaining weight because of appetite, that's an indicator that you're not eating properly. Because if you provide with the food that you're eating, if you provide the vitamins and minerals that your body requires, the body will shut down that hunger. You'll have a much easier time doing your intermittent fasting. In fact, you'll get to the point where you crave the intermittent fasting so much that you'll feel bad if you violate it. You actually will. And you'll feel so good. Every day you get up, you'll feel so good. You're not going to want to stop what you're doing. Okay? And so I'm going to ask, how many of you are that way? How many of you feel that good every day? The Bible says all things in moderation. That goes for alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, food, you name it. Everything's in moderation. If you're overdoing it, then you're probably doing your harm. Angel put in here that it's vitamin D3. So that is the proper vitamin D. A lot of people don't know there's several versions. I think there's D1, 2, 3, and 4. It's D3 is the real one. And she says D3 rhymes, so that's a way to remember it, D3, okay? And she also says salt is needed for brain function. Yep, it's used for a lot of things. That's why in the ancient times, salt was used for money. How many people know that? There were many cultures where salt was used as money. It was held in such value, even more than gold, because gold isn't going to keep you alive. Where salt, you can't live without salt. Not to mention the fact salt is a preservative of meats and other foods. It's also going to keep you alive. Salt is vitally important, especially for good health. All right, very good. So, I think you've got enough to chew on there for today. If anything else comes up, I certainly will put it out either on the website or by email, or it'll come out in the next broadcast. In the meantime, stay alert, folks. Stay alert. There is a lot of lies and deception, and the number of people waking up is amazing right now. Now is the time for the elect, which you folks are. You're going to become vitally important to these people that are shaking the dust off their heads and beginning to realize that the beast has been lying to them, and the beast is actually trying to kill them. Okay? They're going to want to know these facts. Simple facts. It's not very complicated, such as the health thing and the truth of the scriptures and the truth of the family organization, etc. And the true purpose of Adam being upon this earth, okay, versus what society's trying to tell you. It's all very simple, very plain, very positive, okay? Positive energy, positive vibration, and brings about good works and not evil. So, dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share amongst ourselves. We thank you for enlightening us with your truths versus the world's truths, which are most often lies and deception, all about making money and controlling people. We would pray that your sons and daughters are held high as your prophets told us you do, that you will keep them in your mind and you will look upon us and shower your blessings upon those who deserve it, Father Yahweh. Those who suffer from some ailment or whatever, we pray that a witness or an angel will be sent to them with a bit of news or a cure or a remedy or a protocol that will aid their body in healing itself. You are the author and the great physician for us, both spiritually and physically, Father Yahweh. And may our people turn from their wicked ways, turn from the transgression of your law, and remember that the most paramount of laws is your law, not man's law, your law and your law alone. For the warriors out there that are taking on the beast, we pray that you walk with them and guide them, protect them, put the shields around them as they do battle with the beast. And we pray mostly for your coming in to sit upon the throne and end all this nonsense. And may your plan come to fruition as soon as possible. Be with us and guide us in all that we say and do. Forgive us our sins. And always we ask that you protect us from our enemies. And we ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.